You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Last week we were in Galatians, you recall, and we learned that through allegories from the Old Covenant, keeping in mind now, we're dealing with the possibility of the decay of the old economy and the beginning of a new covenant with God concerning the children of Israel. And Paul, energized by the Holy Spirit, gives us an allegory concerning Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. Mount Sinai spoke of the law, the bondage, and was exemplified by Hagar, the woman of bondage, whereas Sarah, the woman with the son of promise, spoke of a heavenly hope, which the Old Testament, under law, only referred to a land that was given to Abraham by an unconditioned covenant. However, in the history of Abraham, we learn in the New Testament that he had heard from God, evidently, about the holy city. And therefore, in the New Testament, we learn that Abraham sought a city and maker whose builder was God. This was unknown of in the Old Testament. That these allegories between Sarah and Hagar spoke of the bondage of Mount Sinai, and Jerusalem at that particular time was under bondage to the Roman Empire. So both of them spoke of bondage, whereas the heavenly Jerusalem spoke of coming to Mount Zion, the heavenly mountain. And Mount Zion in Jerusalem spoke of that liberty, because no one at Mount Sinai could approach the mountain. But at Mount Zion, in the heavenly city, New Jerusalem, which is referred to, everyone has access. Hence, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, coming in now boldly to the efficacy of the freshly slain way of Christ, you see. This was being offered to Israel at that time, the new covenant. It would bring to reality the substance of which the shadows of the Old Testament spoke about. Now, had Israel responded, the substance would become a reality. Whereas in the mystery, they do. But that was a truth never made known, hidden. You see, the old covenant was already to be discarded. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews and hold your place now also in Galatians, because we're coming right back to it. Hebrews, the 8th chapter, and beginning at verse 8, he speaks about the day is coming when God would make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Let us call that who the covenant's made with. No mention of a Gentile there whatsoever. And the covenant goes on down to verse 13. A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which is decayed and waxing old is ready to vanish away. You see, when Peter began to preach at Pentecost, all that was in prospect. It all turned on Israel's response or rejection. Hence, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, speaking of the heroes of the Old Testament who died in faith, the last verse of Hebrews 11 says, these all died, that is the Old Testament people, not having received the promise. the promise of the new covenant, because the Spirit had not been given. It could not come forth. You see? But they all died that they, Paul speaking of himself, without us should not come into full blessing. And you can see everything turned, beginning at Pentecost, on whether or no Israel would receive their new covenant. Because the oil was ready to vanish away. It was all in the prospect. Everything was at hand. This last week, as I say, we looked at Galatians to see the things that typified bondage and the things that typified the freedom that would come under the new covenant. Now, because Christendom in the main has rejected the hidden purpose, which Paul explains under the direction of the Holy Spirit, the mystery, which is God's sacred secret, which was never made known, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, but was hidden God, not hidden in the Scriptures. There was nowhere they could turn to find out. It was untrackable. The untrackable riches of Christ were hidden there. So no one could know until Paul was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Now, in the last chapter of Romans, however, and still hold your place in Galatians, this is coming right to that just a minute. Paul refers in the 16th chapter concerning the thing that the text read about this morning, that the Gentile was now coming in to the blessings of Israel, not through Israel, as was required by law, as we'll see, but with Israel to receive her blessings too, the blessings of Israel. Of course, it all turned on whether or no Israel received their Messiah, their new covenant. Now, notice in the 16th chapter of Romans, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel. Now, many men are fearsome of taking this on because they say there's only one gospel. And in one sense, that's true. But as you'll see, in another sense, it's false. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not the mystery, but a mystery. Stress the definite article out there. It is not there in the text. Which was kept secret since the ages began. Notice, underscore the word since. And the word secret there is a word that means to be hushed up. For instance, the Gentile, go back to Deuteronomy just for a second. Always keep Galatians at hand now. Go back to Deuteronomy hurriedly in chapter 32, verse 21 and verse 21. This is a psalm that Moses sang just before God took him to Mount Nebo and where Moses died. It covers the history. Thank you, man. It covers the history of the children of Israel from the time of the giving of the law up until the book of Acts. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I have provoked them to anger with a foolish nation. See, in all the writings of Scripture, in the book of Amos, we're told that of all the nations, only he knows Israel. He does not know the others, except in their connection with Israel. That means that they must come through Israel. Now you'll see that first church council in the 15th chapter that Ben read about, the Jews were on perfectly sound ground. Notice, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43. Exodus 12, verse 43. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger or foreigner that is bought for money shouldn't eat thereof. But every man's servant is bought with money. When I circumcise him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall he be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house. You shall break a bone thereof. And all the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger, a foreigner, shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised then. Let him come near and keep it. He shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. There was no way to enter into blessings with Israel except through circumcision. That is far as the real plan was concerned. Now coming back to Romans 16 again, verse 25, underscore the word my gospel. And in verse 25, not the mystery, but a mystery. A mystery is something that is not something mysterious, but something is hidden until revealed. Now, whatever this mystery was, we learn it was in existence in the last clause. It was hushed up. That word secret means to hush up. I'll give you an illustration of that just in a minute. It hushed up, notice, not before the beginning of the ages, but what? Since the age times that have got up here on the thing. So that tells us it was not a part of the hidden purpose, because the hidden purpose was before the overthrow of the foundation of the world. And the place it was hidden was in Moses' song. But it was never promoted. The thing that was promoted in Jewish history was in the old law, when it said, "You shall become unto me a nation of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and all nations shall be blessed through you." Now, that had never happened. But when John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," the kingdom of heaven at hand was at the time when the new covenant would become operative, or the Sermon on the Mount, which is the manifesto of the king. It would all become operative. And so the problem was, like today, traditionally in Jewish history, the 52nd chapter of Isaiah spoke of the glorious Messiah coming in all his glory and great power. The 53rd chapter of Isaiah spoke of a suffering Messiah who would just give himself over to be martyred. But Israel interpreted those two chapters as the 52nd chapter is, the glorious Messiah. But they interpreted the 53rd chapter as being themselves. Why? Because they had suffered so much. And that was their traditional thinking. So when Christ came as a martyr, as Corinthians says, when Paul came to Corinth, said, "I determined nothing among you except Christ crucified." And that became what? A stumbling block to Israel. They did not need a martyr. They needed a Messiah that was going to overthrow the heel of Rome. And you see, our Lord makes this clear to them. He says, through your tradition, that was their thing, you made the word of God without effect. We have a similar circumstance today. We'll come to that. Tradition is the oldest weapon that Satan has. And he doesn't have to change. It's so successful, it works all up and down the line. Wherever you follow the pack, you find tradition. What's commonly the consensus opinion? It'd be based upon a truth, but a truth out of context. That's why I called your attention to the word a mystery and not the mystery. See, the Greek language has no indefinite article. It only has the definite article. And when it speaks of the definite, you better pay attention. That's really what it is. It's unfortunate in translating in the English language that they put the word the in there because it makes it easier reading. But it should not be, because it is a secret that was since the overthrow, not before. Only those things that are a mystery, are the mystery, are those things in the context of things before the overthrow, not since. Now, what was it that the Gentile now would come in through grace, not through the law? For what reason? To provoke Israel to jealousy. Nothing else was working. To the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul brought this to light in the 15th chapter of Acts. Now we come to Galatians. And you'll see when the 15th chapter of Acts tells us exactly when this question was settled by all the real believers. Not all of them, but some of them. In the book of Galatians, and I hope you've not gone away from it, in the first chapter, verse 11. Everybody got it? Galatians 1. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to explain some of the things that, in the meantime, jump on down to to verse 16, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Notice. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. That's it, his conversion. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then, underscore the word then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. For other apostles I saw none. Now, chapter 2. Then 14 years after, that's 17 years altogether. Now here's where Paul reveals what he calls my gospel for the first time. That's at Acts 15. We just been read it a while ago. 14 years after, I went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Titus is a Gentile. And he took him up to Jerusalem for that first church council. And we just read about Ben a while ago. I went up, notice, by revelation. And as God revealed it to him, he said, you go up there. We're going to settle this question. And I communicated unto them, notice, that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. But notice, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, he didn't go up there and say to the church, well, I've come to let you in on something new. You see, the apostles had lived with our Lord in the days of his flesh for over 3 years and sat at his feet every day. And here comes this little squatty Jew from Antioch up there to tell him how the cow eat the cabbage. Pardon that common word, but I think you can understand that real good. But he didn't do it in a braggador way. He took the elders away to the side. He explained to them what God had revealed to them. A gospel that would bring in the Gentile, not according to the law, which required them to be circumcised, but a gospel that was demonstrate the grace of God that had been bestowed upon him. Notice when Paul writes about the dispensation of grace, notice, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given who? To me. how by revelation he made known unto me what? The mystery. Now, the dispensation of grace given to the Apostle Paul is one of the last great secrets to be revealed in the Old Testament. Not before the foundation, as we see in a minute, but it becomes the foundation of the mystery itself. And we'll get to that in a minute. The first revelation concerning the secret of Christ is in Genesis 3:15, when God said to the serpent that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. There's the first revelation of God's intention of what he was going to do through Jesus Christ. All through the Old Testament, you'll find truth concerning Christ in little bits here and there and all that. Now, the last thing that is given to the Apostle Paul concerning what who the seed of the woman is. And it's given in grace, not under law. Keep this in mind. But the law is decaying, what for? Waiting for the reception of the new covenant for Israel to accept. So that the Gentile, who had been promised to share with Israel's blessing, and Israel was turning down the new covenant, if any Gentiles were to go and come in, they had to come some other way. Because the law, the mystery, the gospel of the circumcision required the Gentile to be circumcised. Now Paul receives this gospel, as we read a while ago in the first chapter. I did not receive this from men. I received it by special revelation. I was taught it for 3 years in Arabia, and I went up to Jerusalem after that, but I only spent 15 days. I went on to Cilicia. Now, 14 years later, I was called of God to take Titus up there to settle this question that he had been preaching about through chapter 13 and 14 of the book of Acts. Because the Jews were giving him a bad time. The Gentiles were being brought in. And the Jews didn't mind that. What was happening, though, they were requiring the Gentile to be circumcised. And Paul said, no, they're not going to be circumcised. That's why he went to Jerusalem to explain the difference between the gospel of circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. You see, the basis of salvation never changes. Because in the hidden counsels of God, before the overthrow of the cosmos, all the things that were settled by covenant relationship worked out in that hidden counsel. Most of them fall into the context of things since or from the foundation of the world. But one thing was kept back as to Corinth and never revealed to anybody except the Apostle Paul. Now the secrets of Christ were revealed to all apostles by different prophets, and Paul being the last to receive a revelation concerning the secrets of Christ. And concerning that, in the Ephesian letter, the first letter Paul wrote in the mystery, he refers back to the fact that he had spoken briefly concerning the foundation of the mystery itself, which is the last great secret of Christ, which is the dispensation of the grace of God. Not the mystery, but the foundation of the mystery. Because other foundation can no man lay, except that which is laid, which is what? Christ Jesus. To God, so where you go, he is the foundation of it all. But there are scores of mysteries through the Bible. But all of them are in the context of since or from age-abiding times or before the overthrow. Since the overthrow. But only one mystery, and it's called the mystery. No indefinite article here. It's the thing. As the Coke used to say, it's the real thing. And it really is. There are scores and scores of Coca-Colas, all with the same name, but there's only one claims to be the real thing. And the mystery is the real thing. All other mysteries are A, not the. A mystery of the kingdom, a mystery of Babylon, a mystery of iniquity, a mystery of Israel's, how long they'll be aside and not being God's blessing, Goyim, not my people. All these were secrets, but they were all secrets since or from the overthrow. Therefore, they were in the revealed plan of God. The mystery that Paul writes about is of the hidden purpose, never made known. Not yet. You can't, as Paul puts it in the Ephesian letter, it's the untractable, unsearchable riches of Christ. You can study the Bible from now till doomsday. If you don't read it, in those seven last epistles of Paul, it is not the mystery. And that's why today, Christendom lays in darkness, because the rank and file of Christian fundamentalists who believe all the revealed plan of God have rejected the mystery and have for 19 centuries. In fact, when Paul wrote his last letter, he reminds the Christian people that all those in Asia be turned away from me, not from Christ. And so this is why we have a problem. And we do have a problem. Reminds me, I think I told this joke once before, but it's so apropos, I'm going to tell it again. You never hear me do that, of course. But after World War I, the boys all came down Broadway celebrating the victory in France, you know. And one little old woman went up there to see her son come down Broadway. Either from Texas or Oklahoma, I don't know where I'm from, but anyway. As the great parade was coming down, a songwriter listened to this old woman, and she says, "They're all out of step but Jim." That's where we are. We're all out of step. Now, for 25 years, I taught what's commonly accepted today. And for 25 years, I've been on this out of step business. It's a heartbreaking thing to realize that God's own people do not even know what their own calling is. That's a sad commentary. I heard some good news, though, to tell you about. About 4 or 5 months ago, I had breakfast with a very famous theologian from the West Coast. And he just turned me down flat. But you know, about a month ago, somebody heard him in the morning, and he was speaking about, he said, I didn't hear it. I'm going by hearsay, so don't, it's not a court of law. But I understand, he said, you know, it's a sad thing that the American public in Christendom know nothing about their own private mail. You know, I don't know whether I was in breakfast, I had anything to do. But I tell you this, and it confirmed what I already knew. And when you've been rejected so many times, it's nice to have somebody that speaks with authority, because I sure don't speak with no authority, that confirms something for you. And it is public on the radio, too. Who was it telling you about that? They heard that. Somebody. Wasn't it you? Yeah. Well, Mary didn't. If she didn't hear it, she's a liar, not me. But anyway, you know, the Holy Spirit. I was very disappointed that morning. And but you see, God moves in a mysterious way, doesn't He? His wonders to perform. But you see what the difference is between my gospel and the other gospel. The basis of salvation hasn't changed. That is a fact. That's as old as time. The very first man that was ever called out, and that's what the church is, the called out of God, is Abel. He's the first called out man. He's recorded that way in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as one of those heroes of faith. What did Abel believe? Well, he believed that his parents had been driven from the Garden of Eden where the tree of life was. And he had an assurance because of what God had said concerning the seed of the woman that one day somebody going to come along who's the seed of the woman who's going to make it possible for me to go in and take the tree of life. He believed that. Now, what it was by the blood of Christ, he didn't know. He didn't know anything about that. It hadn't been preached. But in God's hidden counsels before the foundation, or the overthrow of the planet, the first thing settled in that council room was that Christ was to become a man, and he was to shed his blood, and the shedding of that blood would be the foundation of every great truth in the Bible. So it was simple for God. He simply counted the finished work of Christ, which only took 2,000 years ago, and Abel was saved. He never lived to see the promise, but he had God's word for it. That's why it says these all died, having not received. But they had God's promise in the matter. We not only have the promise, but we have it all laid out in mystery, exactly what that promise is going to be for us. Poor old Abel, he didn't have the foggiest idea. The only thing he knew was that tree of life. And we've already partaken of that tree of life. We have died, and our life is what? Hidden with Christ. I tell you, when you get into the depths, and I'll tell you truthfully, we haven't scratched the surface. The untrackable, unsearchable wisdom of Christ, in whom are hidden all, not some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians chapter 2. And you know, that's why God said, the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. You know why? Because all man's wisdom is confined to three dimensions of life. He cannot go beyond that. He knows nothing about what's on the other side. Only one man's visited this planet who knows. And he's the man who died for you. He's the God who rose for you, who's now seated as your mediator. Out of there on the wall. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's all we. And you see, you don't. The beautiful thing about it, such a statement as this in Colossians, in the prison letters, you are complete in Him. What does that mean? Do you need anything other than Christ? Why do people keep baptizing people in water? That's a shadow. We have the substance. We got the real thing, not a shadow. Why do people keep sitting at the Lord's table? That's a fulfillment of the new covenant. That's a shadow. We got the real thing. And behold to the head, you see. And that takes a lot of faith, you see, because everything in theology tells you otherwise. The traditions of men in that category are in concrete. And in concrete, I believe they remain. There's not going to be any. That's why we have such a little handful of people. Not many people believe this. Do you realize to the calling that you've been exalted to is very small. It had its greatest outgrowth in England. And even there, the little meetings they have are just handfuls of people. It's pitiful. And most of the work until the last 20 years that these great men wrote about are even outlawed in our bookstores. You can't even buy them. You got to get them overseas. That isn't even fair. Huh? That's right. And let me tell you, it isn't a matter of wind. You know, they say, well, it's just a jack-like preacher. Let me tell you this, beloved. Some of the greatest scholars who ever lived were the men who discovered these truths. And their names are household words, but nobody knows that they're the ones who got a hold of these great truths. And when they did, they were outcasts, in a sense. Not in England. England takes on everything. You can be a carpetbagger and go over there and start But the man who really is a human agent responsible for this really right division was knighted the highest award in literature by the Queen of England, the King of England, in his lifetime. You can't get very much higher on a scholarship at less than that. He was the greatest word study man of all time, as far as you might say, from a human point of view. Another great man at the same time who lived with him was the head of Scotland Yards. And you don't get to be head of Scotland Yards if you're a dummy. Another great man who came into this truth late in life was an Irishman who wrote some of the greatest typologies of all time. The two men I referred to before, one was Bullinger, one was Sir Robert Anderson. This man I'm talking about was from Ireland. He was probably the greatest of all typology men that ever lived. So it isn't a matter that we haven't had scholarship on our side. We have. But the minute that they took this position, it was so contrary, they were isolated. And they all died in a sense of never realizing. I visited with one of them. He was a young man at the time of these great men. And I spent 3 weeks with him in his home. I tell you, that was one of the richest times of my life. I didn't agree with everything he said, but I tell you, I sure agreed with him on Acts 28. And since then, I've come to agree with a lot of things that I rejected at that time, too. This is a terrible time to stop. It's 12 o'clock, so. But I think you understand the importance of what my gospel is. Because it's the very foundation of the mystery itself. It's the last great secret that was revealed in the old economy.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.